To avoid a materialistic conception of Lord Krishna, one should not think that the Lord exists only in a particular time and place. Rather, one should understand that He exists in all times and in all places, and that one may search for and find Lord Krishna within all things. The word Puja Pradhani indicates that Lord Krishna is all pervading, but this does not mean that all things are Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna speaks this verse to clarify His supremacy as the all-pervading personality of Godhead and to show the path of complete self-realization. Om Agyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shlagya Chakshulundavina Dasmai Shri Gurudev Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudevi Gaura Bhaktavinoda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama. O saintly Uddhava, please know that you may worship me in the sun, fire, brahmanas, cows, Vaishnavas, sky, wind, water, earth, individual soul, and all living entities. So from this text and the purport which is mentioned, the philosophy of Achintya Veda Vedatva is described. That how Krishna is all pervading, everything is Krishna. At the same time, Krishna is aloof. Krishna is separate, he's existing separately. And if you look in the history, like thousands of years ago, during the time of Lord Buddha, Buddhism, when Buddhism was being spread, during that time, the Vedic scriptures were being misinterpreted and people were performing Vedic sacrifices which are not sanctioned for this age. Like, especially they were doing sacrificing animals in the name of the Vedas, which is not for this age, it's for the bygone ages. And for that, one has to be very, very qualified, the priest has to be qualified. But in this day and age, no, they don't have such qualification. So Krishna, in order to stop that, Krishna appeared as Lord Buddha, you know. And he said, I don't accept the Vedas, basically, you know. In order to stop him, he said, I don't accept the Vedas, you simply follow me. So in other words, it is like he preached atheism. And of course, the people were also atheistic, so they followed him. So he preached atheism and said that, you know, there's no Vedas, there's no God, you just follow some moral principles and this will purify your thoughts and desires lead to suffering. So you purify all that and you know, that's about it. And after that, you know, this went on for a while. Then under the rule of King Ashoka, as you know, Buddhism was spread all over. Spread very far and wide. So then, according to the divine plan to reinstate the Vedic culture, Lord Shiva's incarnation, Shankaracharya, he came and he preached monism. And basically, he said Vedas are there. You know, we should accept the Vedas, but we should not accept the statements of the Vedas as they are. In other words, he misinterpreted the Vedic literature. Especially, he considered God to be like an abstract form, you know, which cannot be described. Or if God is mentioned, it is only symbolic. It is only a symbolic representation. So then he preached that. So he established a Vedic literature, but he said that God and the living entity are the same. In other words, The living entity is God, but just right now it's forgotten, but it is God. So actually there's no difference between God and the Jiva. So then this philosophy was spread far and wide. It's still actually very prominent. And then in the 11th century, Sripad Ramanujacharya came. Again, this is the plan of Krishna to reinstate the original tattva. And he preached Vishishta Advaita Vada, which means that which it is one step higher than Shankaracharya's philosophy. He said, yeah, we all are same as God, but at the same time we are different as well. But this philosophy appealed a lot to the Shankaracharya's followers because they thought he's stressing more on we are same as God. They thought he's not stressing so much on we are different, but at the same time we are different as well. So this appealed to them, you know. In other words, we are still God. So over time, again, you know, this way Ramanujacharya, he penetrated people's hearts and preached his philosophy. In other words, that God's energies, his expansions, there's the jiva expansion, swamsha, vibhinamsha, that his energies, expansions, incarnations, they all are the same. But at the same time, individuality is maintained. And after this, Shripad Madhvacharya came. And he emphasized this point of Ramanujacharya, that God and the jiva, us, are different. And he did hear, he very strong, I don't know the details of these philosophies, but he strongly preached that God and the jiva are separate. That the jiva is minute and God is infinite. And after that, Mahaprabhu came. Mahaprabhu, then he combined both of them with the Achintya Veda Vedra. Madhvacharya was Dvaitavad and Mahaprabhu's was Achintya Veda Vedra. In other words, we are one and we are different. We are one and different from Krishna. We are one in the sense of we are of the same quality, but quantitatively we are different. So in this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he reinstated the original philosophy, the original tattva, which had been lost. So we can see it is actually Krishna's plan to bring it back. You know, sometimes we see that sometimes we can ask, why Shankaracharya, though he's the incarnation of Shiva, why is he preaching, you know, monism? But actually, this is the plan to bring people gradually to the Vedic path. Because it cannot happen just like that. It takes time to change people's their thought process. So in this way, this was a divine plan, and that's how now we are so fortunate that we have got the original tattva, you know, the simultaneous oneness and difference. And Krishna also describes this in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 9th chapter, in text 4. Krishna says, Maya tatam idam sarvam jagad avyaktam murtina mastani sarva bhutani na chaham teshva avartishtata. Krishna says, by me, in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings rest in me, but I am not in them. So Krishna is saying that in his unmanifested form, he's spread everywhere. Then naturally we living entities are in the material creation, so we are existing in that unmanifested form of Krishna. And Krishna, so Krishna is spread in his unmanifested form everywhere. And Krishna says that this entire universe, all beings are in me, but I am not in them. So Krishna's form, it cannot be actually perceived, and Srila Prabhupada says in the purport that Krishna is in his unmanifested form. It is not that it is unmanifested and it doesn't have a form. It still has a form, but it is unmanifested. And that can only be perceived by one who has purified senses. So by material senses that cannot be viewed, that cannot be manifest. And Srila Prabhupada quotes this verse, Atha Shri Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grahan Indriya Sevan Mukhe Jivadav Swayam Eva Smriti Yada. That when one's tongue is engaged in taking prasadam and chanting the names of the Lord, his pastimes and everything, in that way one's senses are purified and then one can perceive Krishna everywhere. But without that, it is not possible to perceive Krishna everywhere. So Krishna is spread everywhere through his energies. Just like the sun is spread through its energies of heat and light. So Krishna is similarly spread everywhere through his energies. The best way to understand Achintya Bhedavita Tattva is that Krishna is personally existing, and through his this material world is basically his manifestation of his energy. But at the same time, that energy is not him personally. And Srila Prabhupada gives this example of I was hearing one of these lectures of Mr. Ford. He says on every car it's written Ford, but that does not mean that the person Ford is the car. You know, that is his energy. But at the same time, and that person Ford is separate. So similarly, like there's the king has the government. You know, so there's so many different departments in a government. There's the health department, finance department, water department. So these can be the different energies of the king. You know, it's like, just like a king. The king might be just, playing golf, or he might be, playing with his child or something. But at the same time, he has his cabinet of ministers, who are running the government. So the king personally doesn't have to do, anything with it. But it is running automatically. So in that way, Krishna is aloof from the material creation. Because in the next verse, Krishna actually contradicts his statement. He says, "And yet everything that is created does not rest in me. Behold my mystic opulence." So just before he's saying, everything created rests in me, and now he's saying, everything that is created does not rest in me. So, how can one understand this? Actually, we cannot understand this because it is inconceivable. Because Krishna is saying, whatever is created, it is resting in my energy. But then he's saying, it's not resting in me. That I'm totally aloof from it. And in order that we can understand this, Krishna gives an example. Krishna says, just as the mighty wind, in the next verse he says, just as the mighty wind which is resting in the sky is moving here and there. Sorry, understand that as the mighty wind blowing everywhere rests always in the sky, all created beings rest in him. So, we can take a bow, and within the bow there is air in it. So similarly there is the sky, and within the sky there is the wind. So the sky and wind are two separate things. But the wind is dependent on the sky. The wind is not independent of the sky. The movements of the wind are restricted within the sky. So similarly, we are existing in Krishna's energy. And Srila Prabhupada mentioned in the Bhagavad that simply by the will of Krishna, all this creation, maintenance and annihilation takes place. And we are simply functioning within that. In other words, that we have, we have this, how do you say, we have this free choice, this individuality, independence, sorry, we have this independence, but at the same time we are fully dependent on Krishna for everything. our bodies are made up of Krishna's energy. You know, everything we are doing is Krishna's energy. We are fully dependent on Him. But at the same time, we are independent. Just like if somebody is dependent on somebody, he cannot be independent. You know, he cannot be fully independent. If like a child is dependent on his parents, so he cannot be fully independent. He has to do what the parents tell him to do. But here Krishna is saying that though we are dependent on him, we are still independent. This is actually quite inconceivable. That how we are dependent on Krishna, but at the same time we are independent. And you know, if one can actually say that if Krishna is giving this example of the wind in the sky to help us understand this Achintya Dhiravet, then if we can conceive of it, then how is it inconceivable? And Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, he says that actually the wind and the sky are inert objects. They cannot develop attachment for each other, because wind and sky, it is simply matter. But the jiva and Krishna, they are conscious living entities. Just like if a child is dependent on the mother, they both are conscious living entities. You know. So there is some attachment there. You know, the mother is attached to the child, and the child is attached to the mother. So the jiva and Krishna, they are also conscious living entities, but Krishna is totally aloof from it. You know, Krishna is not at all attached. So Krishna by his will, he creates this material world. You know, he creates it, then he maintains it, then after a while he annihilates. Krishna says this is going on automatically. All this creation, maintenance, annihilation is going on automatically. So Krishna simply empowers material nature, and which automatically carries out these functions. So he simply empowers it and it automatically carries. And at the same time, Krishna is not at all attached. He has got nothing to do with it. You know, if you think about it, you can't understand this concept. You know, that he empowers it, and then it is automatically working independently. The material nature is totally independent of Krishna. It is independently working. And then Krishna has got nothing to do with it. He is totally aloof. All he does is simply wills. And by his potencies, everything takes place. So because it is inconceivable, we cannot understand. So this is Krishna's Yogam Aishwaryam, mystic opulence. So we can also see this example in the Srimad Bhagavatam, where also there is this verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, which Gopal Mishra yesterday pointed out to me, in the second canto, 9th chapter, 35th text, in which the Lord is speaking to Lord Brahma, and he gives a nice example. He says, just as in which the Lord tells Lord Brahma that just like the universal elements which enter into the cosmos and at the same time do not enter into the cosmos, similarly I myself enter into everything created and at the same time I'm outside of everything. So we can understand like the Pancha Mahabhuta, which is earth, water, fire, air, ether, they exist separately, you know. They exist separately. Earth, water, fire, they exist separately. And this cosmic manifestation is the creation of these five things: earth, water, fire, air, ether. And we can see that all living entities, their bodies, are simply created by these five things. So the body of a demigod, body of a plant, the mountain, human being, animal, it is simply different different degrees of these five elements. They are mixed in very complex ways, and different kinds of bodies are created. And material science is simply studying these five things. You know, whatever field of knowledge, it is simply dealing with these five things. So similarly, Krishna with his different energies, he is existing within the cosmic creation, and at the same time, he is outside of it. So Krishna is everywhere through his energy. He is all pervading through his material energy. But at the same, and as Paramatma, he is within all living entities. You know, for the purpose of Krishna, for creation, Krishna expands as through his plenary portion, as Mahavishnu, then Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, then Shivadakshaya Vishnu. He is within all living entities. So he is spreading. Krishna is spread everywhere through his external energy, and through the Paramatma, he is within all living entities. And at the same time, Krishna is in his spiritual world. You know, he's totally aloof from all this. Krishna is in his spiritual world and is performing his different pastimes. And the only way one can understand. Only way one can see this, because for a common man he cannot actually perceive this. A common man he perceives that this creation is separate from God, so that they can enjoy it. But one can see it as Krishna's creation, Krishna's energy, and it is said that a very advanced devotee, he can see everything as Krishna's energy, and he can see within every atom Krishna. Why? Because his eyes have been smeared with the ointment of love. You know, with the ointment of love of God. Just like we can take an ointment. There's so many ointments available, and you can smear them. You get different effects. You know, for skin problem, this, that. But if the eyes are smeared with the ointment of love of God, then one can actually begin to perceive Krishna everywhere. And Srila Prabhupada gives the example of a television. Just like with a television, we can perceive things which are very far away through the medium of a television. So similarly, one whose eyes are smeared with the love of God, they can see Krishna everywhere with energy, and they can see within every atom. And at the same time, within their heart, Srila Prabhupada mentions, within their heart, in the television, they can see the pastimes, the Krishna's name, form, paraphernalia, pastimes, and everything in their heart, which is taking place in Vaikuntha. So simply, so the only thing is that one has to take up the process of devotional service in order to see Krishna everywhere. Because without purifying the mind, intelligence and senses, one cannot see Krishna everywhere. And that's why devotional service is very important. Because without that, one cannot see Krishna everywhere. It is just not possible. One will see everything as separate from Krishna. And that's why actually devotional service is very, very rare. Krishna awards, you know, material happiness very easily, liberation very easily, but Krishna does not give devotional service very easily. You know, though we might think that, you know, devotional service is not a rare thing. You know, if you come to a temple, it is happening all the time. We might think it's not a rare activity, but actually devotional service is very, very rare. You know, Prahlad Maharaji mentions, even by one's own endeavors or by instructions of higher authorities, you know, one cannot cultivate devotional service. One gets devotional service only by the mercy of a pure devotee. So we can analyze in our lives that it is only by the mercy of a pure devotee that we have got devotional service. One can also get the direct mercy of the Lord, but generally, by the mercy of a devotee, one gets devotional service. And also it's mentioned that, you know, one can perform all kinds of different charities, yajna, you know, tapasyas, austerities. But still, you know, one can read different kinds of literature, Vedic literature, you know, the speculative process. You know, one can do all rituals, one might go to heaven, you know, one can do this thousands and thousands of times, but still one cannot get devotional service because devotional service is actually independent of material activities. And His Holiness Bhanu Swami was explaining very nicely that how that bhakti is actually manifest in the heart from one devotee to another, and then they pass it on, you know, through their words. So devotional service is only available through the mercy of a devotee. It is totally independent of material considerations. And Krishna does not award devotional service very easily because by devotional service Krishna can be conquered. And we can see this, like, for example, with the Pandavas, you know, Krishna was staying with the Pandavas, and Yudhishthira Maharaj, he asked Krishna to take a message to Duryodhana, that, you know, before the war was to start, so Krishna said he'll go and negotiate on behalf of the Pandavas, so that this is the last chance we're giving you before we can try to stop the war. So Krishna, you know, though Krishna, he's beyond everything, he's aloof from everything, you know, he's the supreme creator, but at the same time, he's conquered by the love of his devotees. And then, you know, Krishna goes and takes a message. Krishna goes as a messenger, you know. It is not a messenger is not a very exalted post. So, you know, Krishna takes that also. So by devotional service, we can see that Krishna gets conquered by the love of his devotees. So that is the power of devotional service. So the important point in this verse is that just because Krishna is all pervading, that does not mean that, you know, that one should worship everything as Krishna. Just because Krishna is all pervading. It's like it mentions here that you may worship me in the sun, fire, brahmanas, cow, vaishnavas, sky, wind. That doesn't mean that these things are Krishna. We can worship them as Krishna. No, that is not right. That Krishna is all pervading, and in the next verse it describes how can one worship me within all these different things. But actually these are not Krishna. That's the main point of this verse. Though that Krishna is all pervading, all these things are not Krishna. You know, Krishna is actually separate from all this. He is a separate personality. So I'll just stop here, see if there are any questions or comments. Corrections. Yes, sir.
Lord Krishna took the form, as you mentioned, that he spread the philosophy of the Buddhism or the impersonalism and the finally checked the Mahaprabhu as the Vedavan Tattva. So, when he took the plan of Krishna, is it the plan that who follows which philosophy?
Is it the plan that who follows which philosophy?
Yeah. The point is that there might be a pure devotee of Krishna who worships the form of Buddha, and there might be another pure devotee who worships the form of Lord Chaitanya. Then they get a different result out of it. But so because nowadays all these philosophies are in practice. Some people are attracted to Lord Chaitanya, some are attracted to Lord Buddha. So, is that the Krishna's plan to follow which philosophy?
No, actually the living entity is independent, as I mentioned. Though we are dependent on Krishna, but we are still independent. So, we have free will. So, we can choose whatever, you know. That is our free will, you know. That's like not everyone comes here. So, you know, they are giving invitation to everyone, but not everyone comes here. So, you know, some people go to other schools of thoughts, you know, like that. Everyone can follow what they want, but Krishna actually wants everyone to be his devotee. That's the conclusion, that they should render devotional service unto him. And at that time, before Buddhism, the Vedic principles were being exploited a lot, you know. There was rampant meat eating and animal sacrifices. So in order to stop that, you know, this is happening on a very wide scale, you know. It's not only few people or few groups, on a very wide scale. So in order to stop that, Krishna preached Buddhism. Then he preached monism. Because from Buddhism to come to, you know, Krishna consciousness, it's not very easy. Most people cannot make that sudden shift, you know, that sudden shift in their consciousness. So, you know, for them gradually. But also at the same time, if one who has a desire to know the absolute truth in full, then Krishna makes all the arrangements. One simply has to desire. And that was Brahmanda Bhamite Kona Bhagavanji Guru Krishna Krishna Psare Bhai Bhakti Lata Beach. That the living entity is wandering, cycle of birth and death, up and down. But if that desire comes to know, then Krishna sends the Guru and, you know, makes all the arrangements. So Krishna is sitting in our heart as Paramatma from a very, very long time, since we came to material creation. So he's just waiting for us to turn our face towards him. And if we have some inclination, then Krishna makes arrangements. There are like stories of so many devotees. You can see, like, they had a very strong desire to know God, and then Krishna makes all the arrangements. Like if you read Radhanath Maharaj's autobiography, he had a strong desire to know God. You know, in his search, he went to Europe and he's traveling. But, you know, Krishna's gradually he led him to Vrindavan. So that desire has to be there. Desire is strong, Krishna will send. If you really want to know the absolute truth, Krishna will send it. No matter what time and place and circumstance, what philosophy is present. If you're really sincere, if you want some concoction, you know, if you want to be cheated, Krishna will send. You know, that's why there's the cheaters and cheated. So Krishna knows our sincerity in our heart. Does that answer?
Yes,
sir. Any other questions? Sankarachana Nagavan, please.